Most machines full of shit. The computer definitely is a foolish machine. It doesn't understand what I want it to do half the time. How foolish is that? Okay, so we're looking at the third one on here. Does anybody have any questions about the first two? We went over them on Tuesday. Did anybody go home and look at them? Are you lying?
Honestly.
Okay, number three. This is kind of an interesting one because it uses a for loop. Okay. So what it says up here at the top is this version of the program uses a cursor for loop, which processes rows in an explicit cursor defined in the declare. Okay, so I've defined the cursors up here in the declare, and those are explicitly defined. Even though this is an explicit cursor, the cursor is automated within the for loop, and the processing is handled implicitly. Okay, implicitly basically means behind the scenes, as opposed to explicit, which you can look at and see. The for loop opens the cursor, fetches a row for each iteration of the loop, closes the cursor, and terminates the automatic processing after the last row has been fetched and processed. When using the for, you must declare the cursor, but the processing is automated. Okay. So, basically, what I'm getting at here is you're not seeing any fetches in here. You're not seeing an open. You're not seeing a close. It's all done within the cursor. Okay. I mean, within the for loop, sorry. Okay, come on. Foolish machine. Or actually, it's not the machine's fault, it's SmartBoard. You foolish SmartBoard. Okay, so what I've got here is the same general kinds of things. I've got a cursor that has the employees in it, and I said select manager ID from employees. I've got another cursor that has the employees' files for updating purposes. Okay, so this file, they both are having the same file in them because they're both opening employees. But this one is taking just a list of the manager IDs, while this one is taking the things that I need to do the update because I want to update the salary for a specific person, so I need the employee ID and the salary there. So those are for the specific person. And then I have the table still, which is going to end up with the distinct or unique managers. There we go, manager IDs. Okay, so down below, I said for V employee data 1 in C employee 1 loop. Okay, V employee data 1 is a name that I am giving it that has not been defined. That's what they're talking about implicitly. Okay, so I just tell it, pretend as that ID. For V employee data 1 in C employee 1. So it knows it's in the cursor. And then I say loop. And the for statement will then open as appropriate, fetch as appropriate, and close as appropriate. So it does all that stuff. All I had to do was declare the cursor. Okay, so V found flag, it sets to false. V loop count, it sets to 1. And then I said, and I put a while in here, while V loop count is less than or equal to V manager ID count, and that's the same as we had before, and the found flag is false. Okay, so now I'm doing a compound. I'm saying while the loop count is less than the manager ID table count, and there's the manager ID table, as long as it is less than that, and I didn't find a match. Okay? So loop while those two are true. So in other words, again, I have two reasons why I will leave this loop. One is that the found flag gets changed to true. The other is I've checked everything. Okay, and loop count is no longer less than or equal to the count in the table. So I've checked everything. So this means I'll get out of here for two reasons. Okay, because I'm saying stay in while this and this are true. But if either of them stops being true, get out. So either one will get me out. If I set the flag to true, I will get out. If the loop count is no longer less than or equal to the count in the table, I will get out. Okay? Because again, with an and, both of them have to be true to continue. If one or both are not true, then it's out. Okay? So while with an and means exit when either is not true. So it's almost exit on the or. Okay? So then it goes in and says, okay, check and see if V employee data 1 manager ID. And again, this is the implicit definition. V employee data 1, that's what I defined up there. Okay, it is looking like employee 1. So what it says here is, if that is not equal to the thing in the manager table, or if it is equal, sorry, set the flag to true. Okay, so I am basically going to set the flag to true. Again, the for statement is doing the fetch. So it's looking to see if the current record is equal to the one that is being pointed to in the manager table. Yeah?
There are two counters in sequence right now in this program.
In a sense, because the fetch is moving through one at a time. Okay, let's see what you're asking. Count here is how many records are in the manager ID table. And loop count is how many times I've gone through the loop. And...
Oh, so you're saying, like, once it reaches every record in the manager table, stop.
That's right. Once I've checked everything in the manager table, stop. Because I haven't found it. Okay? So I'm getting out of there because I either have checked everything or I've changed the flag to false, which means I found it. I mean, I've changed the flag to true.
Okay.
Okay. No, I know, but keep correcting me, okay?
Once you found a true record.
Right. So I'm saying while the loop count is less than that what's in the table, which means that I should still keep going, because I haven't. And the flag is false, which means I haven't found it. So the loop count check is basically saying that there's still a possibility I can find it. If the false has been changed to a true, that means I have definitely found it and I'm out. So then I say, okay, if the one that I just fetched automatically, because the fetch is done automatically, if the one I just fetched is equal to the one in the table that loop count is currently pointing to, then we set the flag to true. Okay? So loop count is stepping through this table up here. That's what loop count is doing. The automated fetch is stepping through the records in the cursor. Yes, no, maybe?
the manager ID and employees, employee ID and employees, the manager would have the same ID as the employee ID if they were a manager.
If they're true. That's right. If the person is a manager, are going to appear in the manager ID list. The manager ID list is all of the people that were managers.
That's also their employee ID.
That's right. So the employee ID is, let's say it's 1111, and their manager is 2222.
Right.
Okay, 2222 is a person.
Right.
So that's showing up in the employee ID. It's the person that's their manager.
So you're looking to see if those match.
Right. Because I'm giving the managers, if you're a manager, you're getting a 10% raise, and if you're not, you're getting a 2% raise. A little bit more of reality.
Well, that is reality.
Okay, so if I do not find a match, if I find a match, I set it to true. Okay, and if, and now I add one to loop count. Okay, so what I'm saying here is before I had an exit in there. Now I've gotten rid of the exit. And I'm basically saying do the loop for two reasons. Okay? Stay in the loop until it's been changed to false. Or loop count has passed what's in the table. So now I am ending that loop, and I'm saying if found flag equals false, then I put it in the table. Because again, this is the part that is filling the table. Okay, this is the part that's filling the table. And remember, the first time through, the loop count is not less than or equal to the manager count, so I don't even go into the loop. I go down here and the found flag equals false puts the first record into the table. Okay, so the first record goes into the table because I never go into the loop. From there on in, I have something in the table, so I'm always going to be comparing. Okay, but the first time through, there's nothing in the table, again, table/array. There's nothing in the table, which is basically an array. And so I don't ever enter the loop because loop count is 1 and the count in the manager table is 0 and 1 is not less than or equal to 0. So I don't ever go into the loop. I go out and the found flag is false, so I move something to the table. From there on in, I will move things to the table depending on the fact that they got didn't get found. If they get found, I change the flag to true. And if the flag is set to true, then I don't execute that, which means something goes in the table. Something goes in the table only if the flag is false. Okay, if the flag is true, then I don't do it. Okay, so now I come down and I'm using employee 2. And I said for V employee data 2. So this is again implicit. Okay, I don't actually define V employee data 2. I say the employee data 2, which is in the second cursor. The second cursor, remember, had the employee ID and the salary. And so now I go in and I do a loop, and basically at this point, I'm saying if it was found, then give them a 10% raise. Otherwise, if it wasn't found, give them a 2% raise. Okay, so now what I'm looking for is I'm doing basically the same search, except now I'm looking, and if it was found, if they find it, then I set the flag to true, So now I'm saying if the final flag equals true, then they get a 10% raise. Otherwise, they get a 2% raise. But if you look at it, it's basically the same check that I'm making. It's just different actions. Okay, before, if I got a found, if I found it, that meant that it was already in the table and I didn't want to put it in. Now, if I find it, it means it's in the table and I want to give them a 10% raise. So I have different actions based on whether I find it or not. Okay. Questions? Well, that's one out of seven. Anybody else get it? Any questions? Okay. The next one. All right, take a look at that if statement. Okay, on this one, first of all, I am taking in employee ID, I'm taking in salary, I'm like a one person. I'm taking in employee ID, salary, and manager ID, okay? I'm ordering it by manager ID. So what does that do for me if I order it by manager ID? It will show all of the things in order by manager ID. So all of the records that have manager 7820 or whatever it is will be together. Okay, so 7820, they'll all be together. Well, that makes my life easier if they're all together. Okay, because I basically only have to check against the last one. So I said, okay, select employee ID, salary, manager ID from employees, order by manager ID, and I want to put a hold on it for update of salary. And then I've got the rest of the stuff going on. So now I've got for the employee data one in employee one, loop. And then look at the if statement. It says, if the table count is zero, which means I haven't put anything into the table yet, or the manager ID, okay, is not equal to the one in the table, then I will put it in the table. So they're in order. So all I have to do is look at the last one and see if this manager ID matches the last one, because they're in order. And so therefore, since I'm processing them in order, they're going to be in the table in order. So if I had something like one, didn't even let me get one right in. Right. I really wish there was somebody that I could call and say, why does this not work? So if I have 1111 and in this table, let's say I put 1111 and I put 2222. Okay? So now I'm looking to see if I'm processing, we'll say, 3333. So I look and I only have to check the bottom one. I don't have to check everything because they're in order. So I don't see it there, so I put it in. Okay? So now I am... Actually, shouldn't have said 3333. I'm a processing person 3000, we'll say, that has a manager of 3333. This is the employee, and this is the manager, and this is the manager table. Nothing much. Okay? So, I look, an employee 3000 has a manager 3333, so I don't put it in the table, because it's already there. And then I look, an employee 4050 also has manager 3333. And so I check this, they match, so I don't put it in the table. And then employee 1110 has manager 4444. I checked the last thing, it's not there, so I have to put it in. Okay, but I only have to check the last thing because they're in order.
So is this good for payments on the table?
I'm sure you can do it with maintenance, yeah. I mean, it's good for a lot of things, but the fact is that since they're in order, I don't have to check everything because I know that I'm processing these in order, and so if it's not equal to the bottom one, then it's not in the table because all the rest are less than the bottom one, and these are in order.
But what if the employee 1110 had a manager 1111?
Then it would have been up here and I would have handled them already.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because the whole cursor is in order by manager ID, which means that the records that I'm processing, these are the records I'm processing, and they're in order by manager ID, which means that when I put them in the table ends up being an order by manager ID because
right.
That's the order that I'm processing. Okay? So it wouldn't happen because anything for 1111 is up above. Okay, we've already handled those. I was just putting up examples so that there's a bunch of stuff up there that we've already handled. Okay, but since it's the last one, I don't have to check everything because they're in order. And this is a nice kind of technique to use because if you put things in order, it gives you a certain sense of how you can process if they're in order. If those managers are coming in randomly, then I have to check everything in the table. But if they're coming in sequentially, then I don't. Okay. So. Okay. Something is yelling at me about something. Okay, so then I go in and that fills the table. So you can see the ordering it basically meant that filling the table was very straightforward. I didn't have to have a while loop and go through it, check everything. I just checked to see if the employee manager ID is equal to count, count being the last one I put in the table. And if it's equal, then, if it's not equal rather, then I'd say and put it into count plus one. So I put it into the next slot. Okay, so I check count, which is the last existing one, and if it should go into the table, I add one and say put it into count plus one. So put it into the next slot. And the next one is basically the same thing that we just looked at. Okay, now another way, questions. Another way that we could do this would be to use distinct. Okay? Because remember, distinct gets you a distinct of everything. Okay? So, if I wanted to, I could have set up this using distinct.
So would it just show like the employees and then the one manager employee number? So I have like a bunch of employees for one manager and then the next manager for distinct.
Distinct would mean I would only have, if I made a table of manager IDs and were distinct, then each manager ID only appears once.
But if you're comparing the employee table to the manager table, you have a bunch of employees to the one manager code.
Well, that's what I've been doing all along, though. I've been making this table, the table that I've been making here has only held unique managers, unique, distinct synonyms. So it's only holding distinct. Okay, so what would you have to do if you decided to do distinct? A select line up above, and when you make the cursors. So, what would you do? I think the one I modified was actually not this one. I think I modified number 2. So, we'll look at number 2. So, I started out and I said, okay, you just said select. So, the cursor, the first cursor, what would the select statement be?
You want to select the state manager ID for employees?
Exactly. So if I'm doing that and I've got the distinct ones in there, do I need a table, that the table array?
I'm confused.
Okay. All right. I'm going to use the fact that Oracle has a select distinct, which allows me to select the distinct of something. And so I am saying here that this first cursor, if I put the word distinct in there in front of manager ID, that cursor is going to have just the distinct records in it, right?
It's only going to show once per manager ID.
That's right. Yeah. Distinct means exactly that, though, that there's five people that perhaps person 7890 is their manager. Yeah. That's fine. It's only going to show once in, yeah, if I say select distinct. I'm only going to see 7890 once. Yeah. Yeah? Because I'm saying distinct manager ID.
Yeah.
So if 7890 is in the manager ID 5 times, it's only going to have one of them in here. Okay? So I'm saying select distinct manager ID from employee. So my purpose for the table before this was to go through a loop and put the distinct records in the table. Well, if I do the select and I get the distinct records in the cursor, do I need the table? Huh? Why? And it is. It's come from somewhere. I've got a cursor that now has the distinct records in them.
Visualizing it? I mean, I'm having a hard time visualizing it. So you have, like, the managers, you have them all there.
Right.
And you have the employee table, and it's only going to show all the managers.
If I say to select distinct manager ID, it's going to take, and it's going to put
Yes, I mind. Just in case you wanted to know, yes, I mind.
Good, it's kind of fabulous.
Okay, so if I say select distinct, it's going to put in this. So I'm saying select distinct ICT.
CT. No, I.
CT. Yeah,
there's an extra.
I can't spell.
It's okay, no worries.
It's a really good spell.
Well, as I said, I flunked fifth grade spelling and it's been down here since then. Okay, so select distinct manager
ID
from employees. Okay? And this is a cursor that I'm doing this in. So this is a cursor.
Okay.
Where I'm saying the select distinct manager ID.
This would be in the declare.
Yes.
Yep.
And I would then end up having 7902, and then I would have 7698, and then I would have 7839.
Yep.
And then I would not have that one, I would not have that one, I would not have that one, but I would pick up 7505. I would not have this one. I'd pick up 7506. I would not have the second one. 7839, we've seen that before,
yep.
So that's going to go. 7505,
yep.
We've seen that before. 7507, I'll pick up. 7698, we've seen that about a gazillion times. 7507, 7839, 7839, and so forth.
Yep.
So I'm picking up the distinct.
Now, if you put order by manager ID,
then they'd be in order.
Okay.
It would take this and it would sort them basically in order.
Yeah.
Right, so you have that table.
Huh?
So now you have a table just with the manager IDs.
I have a cursor with
a
just
cursor.
The manager IDs.
So
yes.
In order to print it, you would have to have it in a table.
Say that again.
So in order to see it on screen, what you've gathered in the cursor.
Right, I'd have to have, and on that first record when that's all I did is I put in that for statement that went through and did it. So if I were to take and go back to the problem again, okay, so here's my problem for number one. If instead of doing all of this, I just simply put in here, select distinct manager ID from employees, and and then just I could finish all. I don't need all that stuff. Okay. So if I just put in there select distinct manager ID, I can eliminate this whole first part that puts stuff into a table. To pluck out the unique ones and put them in the table. Because now I don't have to do that. I'm letting Oracle do the work because it knows how to do it with select distinct.
You don't need that wild, essentially.
I don't need any of it there.
No.
I mean, all of this first part basically fights the dust because I've got the table that is distinct.
You just need, that's just that end, right?
So I just do that, and then what I actually did was I modified the second one, and we'll look at that in a minute after we've gone through. But what I did was I therefore pulled out the table. I said I'm going to go in and modify this. And I said, okay. Well, it's kind of close. I said, okay, since I'm putting the word distinct in here, and yeah, right. What kills me is that I can't seem to understand that instead of walking over there and picking at the pen, I have to click and then walk over, and I can't seem to train myself to do this.
It's good, drag that button.
Okay, so I would have the word distinctive here. So that means that I can get rid of the table, which means that that is gone, and I can get rid of all the stuff that go with the table. But I don't need the table because I have a cursor that is holding the distinct. Okay, now, the problem becomes, how do I know how many things are in the table? Well, they have this wonderful thing called row count, except that every time you read about row count, it tells you not to use it until you've used the table. I mean, until you've used the cursor. The cursor, you have to kind of process the cursor before it knows what the row count is. You can't just start out by saying what the row count is. So that became a slight problem. Okay, so I have to figure it out. But essentially what I'm doing is I am getting rid of all that stuff because I no longer have to fill the table. Okay, so all of that stuff has basically gone away because I don't have to fill the table. But what I do have to do is have the records that are inside the cursor available to me. Okay, so that kind of ends up being problematic. So, if I open Notepad, here we go, what? Okay, so I'm going to do a file, open, and, okay, now let me try to remember what I called it. Well, if I do that, because I wrote it last night, I ought to be able to find it. Date modified.
Is it in the
CAS 150
folder?
Click on the date modified type right on the top there.
Say that again.
So click on date modified. Exactly on it, like the words.
I did. It's modified by date now, it claims. These are all 14. 11-4. Nope. I'm not that stupid. I had to have saved it. Oracle Notes. No, that's 9:15. I couldn't have been that stupid. Because I really don't want to sit here and write it, so I will have to send it to you if I don't have it. Because it was a lot of writing. And a lot of debugging. Okay, so did I put it Oracle School Grades? No, that's not it. First, BB, Balls Bound, CIS 150. Does that sound promising?
The date was no.
Nah, that doesn't sound promising.
Remember what you called it?
No.
Darn.
Well, I can send it to you, as I said. Empty site inventory DB. No. UMD. No.
Yeah.
Oracle Notes.
No.
Just
modified in September. Unless you did it, like you said, you did it last night, right?
Yeah. Because I started thinking about it, and I did it last night.
Is it in your email randomly or something like that?
Yeah, I'm not that smart. But wait a minute, why am I not seeing everything in there? Oh, I am, I guess. All right, so that's what I did, maybe. Odder test cursor.
Yeah.
What did I do that I didn't see that? I didn't notice that the scroll is down, passed away.
I didn't think it was either. I don't think
there it is.
Something.
I knew I had to have saved it someplace. Yeah. Okay. So there it is, and it says, okay, so I've got the cursor, see employee one is, select distinct manager ID from employees. Okay, so that gives me my distinct.
And then I have my second cursor, which is employee ID, and notice I spelled salary wrong, because when I looked at my copy of employees, I had spelled salary wrong. Okay, I had two A's in salary, and it was easier to just change it here than it was to go out and change it there, I decided. So salary is spelled wrong throughout this with two A's. Huh? So it stayed, yes. I decided it was, at this point, I was in the program, not going out and testing, not going out and changing the thing. So I have an open C employee too, and I fetched, okay, C employee two into employee ID and B salary. And as I said, I was modifying number two, so it follows along with number two. And then I said, exit when C employee 2 not found. And then I have a DBMS line that I commented out later on because I got sick of it doing it, but I left it in there. And the hyphen hyphen in the front turns it into a comment. Okay?
I didn't even think to do that.
Huh?
Comment out lines.
Well, I mean, the DBMS line, I put it in there because I had a problem when I first wrote it. I had something that wasn't working. I don't remember what it was. So I put those up there to show me the employee ID and show me the manager ID. Okay, so that was giving me a list as I was running the program. Okay, and in fact, it worked. I just can't remember now what I did wrong. You think I could since I wrote it, as I said, sometime yesterday. But essentially, I said, okay, put out the word employee and show me the employee ID. And I had wanted to have something that would distinct it from manager. So I just put out the literal, show me employee and show me the employee ID, show me the manager and then show me the manager ID. And if I hadn't put in the employee manager would, then the numbers would have been hard to figure out whether that was an employee or that was a manager ID, because basically they're the same. Okay? So I said, okay, now that I've fetched, I want to see what employee ID I fetched. Because the fetch is going to get me an employee ID, right? Because I'm saying fetch C employee 2 into V employee ID, V salary. So that fetch got me an employee ID, and I'm now looking to see what employee ID I got. Okay? So then I said, okay, set the found flag to false, and open employee 1. Okay, now employee 1 is my distinct managers, right? My distinct managers. So I said, fetch employee 1 into the manager ID. And then I said, while C employee 1 is found, meaning stop this loop when there's no more data. And then I said, okay, now I want to see what that manager ID that I just got out of the fetch was. So I have the DBMS line to show me the manager ID. And then I said, okay, if the employee ID equals the manager ID, then set the found flag to true and exit. Okay? And that's the end of the if. Okay? So then I said, fetch C employee 1 into manager ID. Now notice I'm not keeping a counter because I'm not going through a table. I am moving through this table using fetches. I mean, moving through this cursor, sorry. Moving through this cursor using fetches. Okay, so that was a big difference. When I had a table array set up there, I had to have a pointer to tell me which one in the table array I wanted to look at. Here, I'm doing a fetch. So I am now fetching a new manager ID, and I go back to the top of the loop, and as long as it's found, I drop in, and I put out the manager ID again. So I keep seeing the manager ID that I just fetched. Okay, so I'm going to see all of the manager IDs that I checked when I run this, if I take the comments off the DBMS line.
Okay, and as I said, when I first wrote it, I had a problem, and I wish I remembered what it was. But I put those in there as a debugging tool. Okay, and then once it was debugged, I decided to leave them so I could comment on it to you, but I commented them out because they were annoying. Okay, so now I keep going through, and then eventually, if I find a match, I set the flag to true. Okay, and if I set the flag to true, then I do the, when I set it to true, I exit, which is exactly what I did in number two. So I exit out immediately, so it knows what record it is. Okay? Now, there's a bunch of different techniques you could use there on the exit. And, I want to get out, and one of them is that I could change the while. Just say I want to stay in while it's found and the flag is false. And that's another way of getting rid of the exit, because I'm saying stay in there while it's found. And now I will still drop down and do the fetch, although I could turn that into an else, so I only do the fetch on an else. But if I keep it that way, so everything is done the fetch, then I basically need to back up one. So it would be better to do the else and get out. Okay, so I say, if it is equal to true, else I will do a fetch. I'll only do another fetch if it is false, because I don't have to do another fetch if it isn't. And then my while statement would have to be expanded to give me two ways to exit. But this one had an exit in it, so I just left the exit in. And then I just went down and everything else is the same. So this is a good way of doing it, in that I am, you know, it's less code basically, and I'm using a built-in thing that Oracle has, which is the distinct. But it's the difference in these is that when I had the table, I moved through the table one by one by changing loop count or changing a counter so that I grab different ones. I have to have a pointer. When I am moving through this, I'm moving through it by doing fetches. Okay, so if I make this smaller and go back to example two, which I think this is, okay. So on this one, I have this counter that is telling me which record in the table I'm currently looking at. And I have to keep adding one to count so that I will look at the next record. When I'm using the cursor, I have to get the next record using a fetch. And so instead of doing the add one, I'm doing a fetch, because I'm moving through the cursor to the fetch. Okay, so on this one, I was using the loop count to move through the table. Whereas on this one, I am using the fetch to move through the table and get the next record. So I'm saying fetch into the manager ID. So I'm getting the next manager. So the loop count got me the next manager when I was using the table array. The fetch gets me the next one when I am using a cursor. Because how do I move through a cursor? I fetch, 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 and that's how I move through the cursor. And why did I have to close and open employee one?
You have to do that anyway. If you open something, you have to close and
close. Right. But I did it on every pass. And the reason was I wanted to start out employee one at the first record.
every time I was doing a search.
Oh, so you're researching
it all. So I just searched it, and then I wanted to get back so that the next fetch would get the first record. If I didn't close it, then the next fetch would have gotten the next record from wherever I was. So I closed it and opened it again. And that may be...
So you were telling it where...
That kind of, in a way, may wipe out the advantage of distinct, because closing and opening a cursor takes time.
So you were telling it where to loop back.
Well, I'm telling it when it goes back, it gets the next employee, and then I set the found flag to false. Now, in the other version, I was setting loop count to one here. And the equivalent to setting loop count to one. Loop count to one was so I'd start at the beginning.
Yep.
Well, how do I start at the beginning here? I have to open the cursor.
So it's going to keep searching. It's not. Like, if you had it just open the whole time, outside the loop, it wouldn't just go right to the top and go
no.
again. It would just probably stop and then just keep going, but it
exactly.
would be weird.
Exactly.
You get weird results.
And eventually it would be that I would have a not found because
yeah.
I hit the end.
Yeah.
So basically you had to restart it.
To kind of search everything.
Right. Now, you could also have opened the distinct and had a little routine where you fetch those and put them in the table. So I could have still used the table, opened the cursor once, fetched, had a little loop that fetched from the cursor and put it in the table, and then I wouldn't have to do this. So that's another approach I could have taken.
I'm wondering if
use the distinct then.
Use the distinct and then have a little loop that took things from the distinct
yeah.
From the cursor one and moved it to the table.
Yeah.
And do a fetch. Fetch, 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 fetch. And the only thing I had in the loop was fetch and move to the table, fetch and move to the table, fetch and move to the table. Then I would have the table set up, and then I could start the second part using the table, and I wouldn't have to open and close. I would have then closed employee one permanently, because I now would have the stuff in the table.
So not only is this code less, this process actually works faster than the other one, too, because in the other one you still had to go from top to bottom.
Right.
Yeah, I still had to search from top to bottom.
But still, searching from top to bottom in an internal table is a lot better than going out and grabbing records and bringing them into a cursor. Because whenever you... I.O. is what's expensive as far as time is concerned. I.O. is more expensive than internal processing. So probably the ideal solution, and I didn't do it. Why don't you? The ideal solution would be to,
would be to do the select distinct and then put in a little loop that moved the stuff from that table into, from the cursor into the table and just have a little loop to do that. So you're processing the cursor once. Cursor one once. And so you're doing a fetch, put in the table, fetch, put in the table, fetch, put in the table. It's now on the table. And then you can start this processing. But this processing would now be identical to that processing in one of the other three examples that I gave you. Because all I'm doing then is checking to see if it's in the table to determine whether they get a 10% raise or a 2% raise.
Yeah.
Pat's not happy.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot to process. Practice.
Right.
That's really what it's going to be.
But it basically is what I'm saying here is if I say the select distinct, and then I can set up basically some kind of a loop. It let me write. Where I...
Amazing.
Yes. It is. Where I can either put the fetch outside, which is the way I like to do it, or put the fetch... Essentially what I want to do, pseudocode-wise,
yeah,
is
fine.
Do a fetch,
and move to the table. And then move back and do another fetch, move it to the table, another fetch, move it to the table, another fetch, move it to the table. And this is, you know, ideally it would be better if I put the fetch, initializing fetch up here and the fetch down here. That's a better way of doing it.
The table that I've had
in all the other examples. Okay, so if we come down from this,
is it poise?
So let me reduce this. Okay, this table right here.
Okay.
Oh man, B manager.
So if I put a. Yeah, no, it's too good to be cool.
Angel got its wings and then it got shot.
That's right. And explain to me exactly what was different about anything I did that made it decide that way. Goodness. Okay, so I'm going to have distinct in here. I'm going to keep the table. And then I'm going to do a fetch. Then I'm going to have some kind of a while. Person one is found while it's found, basically. Okay? And I'm going to move to the table, this being the table, and then I'm going to fetch again. And as long as it's found, I'll move to the table, then I'll fetch again. As long as it's found, I'll move to the table, I'll fetch again, and so forth and so on. And then that will then fill at the table. So now I can eliminate all of this stuff because I'm going to be putting this loop in there instead of just taking it and moving it to the table. Because that's what this accomplished was filling the table. The table slash array. Well, if I use distinct, then this accomplishes filling the table. Yes, no? And so I can just then, the next thing would be the stuff down below where I'm using the table to determine if they're a manager or not.
Just gonna have to write the code. Just gonna have to write the code.
Okay. So, anybody that wants to do this and give it to me, the next time we meet, which will be in 2 weeks, because remember, Thursday's a work day. And I think it looks like Jess is coming in to help Pat.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Right.
It's okay if she can't, but...
Oh, yeah, no, but I told her that I really hope she could. And she really wants to, actually. She thought it would be fun.
Nice.
So, And she said her boss said, I don't see any problem with that, but he didn't actually say she could do it, so she wanted to confirm with him this morning. So, anyway, if they're going to get extra credit, though, and I'll put it up on the website, it has to be in by that day because I want to go over it that day when we come back. Okay, so it has to be in or it's not extra credit. It's
so
got a deadline.
You're gonna go over it anyway,
so I'm gonna go over good. It. So if you get it in before I go over it, then you get extra credit. If you don't get it in before I go over it, then you don't get extra credit. Okay?
Yeah.
So okay, so here we go and I'll print this out. So I want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think I'll get one for me too. Yeah. Would you grab those that are coming out right behind you? And pass them around. Okay, what we're going to do next time, because we're basically running out of time, is I want to go back now and look at records and table types.
So we're going to go back and look at records and table types. And you can see this goes into setting up a table.
I'm not real fond of this particular set of notes, so that's why I wait until I've actually used them practically. And then we're going to go and look at exceptions.
Do you want the two?
Yep. So then we're going to go and look at exceptions. So those are the things we're going to start next week. And exceptions are basically if there is a problem. If you look at this particular example, for example, it says exception, and I can say when too many rows with no data found, when other, and I can put out different messages that will keep it from crashing, so that when an error occurs, I can keep it from crashing by handling it in exceptions. It won't process, but it won't crash either. It will move on. Okay, so we're going to look at exceptions next. And then we go into procedures, functions, and triggers. And then we're done. My goal always is to do nothing the last week of classes, but I sometimes make my goal and I sometimes don't. Right now it looks like we're on target to make it, so it should be good. Mainly because I give you the final then, and I want you to have that week to work on the final.
Yeah.
Okay, so my goal is not to give any assignments that week. Alrighty, we're done.